the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
What up, people? I said, what up, people? Welcome to episode 51 of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. And for this week, and in the foreseeable future, which I really don't see that future changing, but so much, the moniker will be Voice of the Viceless. Ha ha ha. Yeah. So, what up? How's everyone doing? Hopefully everyone is doing great. I'm doing great myself. I am going to give y'all the rundown of what to expect this week on this edition, and I got a little bit of a surprise for y'all for the next edition that I'll get to in short order. On this edition, episode 51 of the Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph podcast, I'll be talking about yesterday's victory of the New York Knickerbockers against the Philadelphia 76ers. I will give, well, what I call an in-depth analysis of this great victory to give us a 1-0 lead in the first game of the best of seven first round series of the Eastern Conference NBA playoffs. Then I will give my thoughts on fashion. You know, being the fact that I am the fashion plate that I am, you know, the color coordinator, mother effer that Mike Steph B. Right, Stitch? See, I'm acknowledging you early. I figured I would be remiss if I did not give my thoughts on the newest digs, the newest garb from my New York Metropolitans. Some would say a controversial take, because it seems like me and one other guy are in the minority when we're talking about this new alternative uniform that they displayed, that they debuted a couple days ago, called the City Connect. Yeah, the City Connect uniform. Well, I got a couple thoughts on that, and guess what? I will be giving them to you. And then, last but not least, because I'm going to try to make this truncated, which, you know, probably means about 2 hours long. Remember, the dick is long and my time is not short. I am going to give a very, very special edition of the newest segment of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph, Steffi Time. Yes, Steffi Time. I'm such an idiot. Anyway, this edition of Steffi Time will discuss a segment. Matter of fact, it brought a segment of my brothers from Gimmick Infringement made me start thinking about my past, my history, my experience when it came to high school hijinks, aka high school proms. And I have a very, very amusing, a very, very tawdry, a very, very disgusting story concerning my high school prom and the circumstances that surrounded said high school prom that, guess what? Spoiler alert, I did not attend. But I think the story would be well worth its weight in silver. Because, shoot, listen, until I start getting some new subscribers up this mother effer, I can't say it's worth the weight in gold, even though my heart is full of it. So that is what is going to be on deck this week. Before I get into the actual show, I'm looking at my notes. Because yes, guess what? Yes, Sister Ooh. Yes, Mike Steph, your brother, your lovely brother, your simply dashing brother does have notes. Because that's how I kind of try to keep on track. I have you having my notes that, side note, do not forget to talk about this. Now, I'm not sure how many people used to watch Storage Wars back in the day. You know, that old show on A&E about how this group of people were going to these storage auctions. And of course, at the end of every episode, they get this big fine to actually make a profit. You know, even though it was kind of proven that some of it was kind of fixed and predetermined. But I've been watching Storage Wars because that's like a guilty pleasure of mine. Was a guilty pleasure of mine before, and now even more so because I'm watching a lot of Samsung TV Plus. That's one of the channels on there, Storage Wars channel. And there was a character because I kind of fell off early, so I remember Daryl, I remember Brandy, I remember Barry, that guy. I remember all of them. I don't remember Ivy. He was a newer character. I don't remember Renee. He's a newer character. And I damn sure didn't remember Mary. Mary is very, very peculiar. Her mannerisms, I think she originated on the spinoff of Storage Wars LA. And I think they made a Storage Wars Texas. And then when they canceled that, they shifted her ass to LA because she was one of the most popular characters. So I read. And I can understand why. You know, she has a very, very peculiar personality. But I was looking at some of these episodes, and she's like, every time she gets a new find, she's like, cool. Like, I didn't think that I was going to be able to afford that. But thankfully, They left all the cool stuff to me. And I'm like, okay. You know, now what I read, because I actually did some research, none of which I have at my disposal right now. But what I read is that she actually has a very, very, well, she had a profitable antique store or antique business. And pretty much the pandemic kind of washed away those dreams, and I believe she has a website that she's still peddling her wares. So, you know, salute to Mary. I think she even got married. Because it seemed like every other episode when she had to go in and get something to praise, she was like, shoot, maybe it was worth more than money. Maybe it was worth more than money can buy. I say all that to say this. Anybody who's familiar with, which probably be next to nil, ain't man, none of y'all familiar with her, and I'm probably just talking away whatever viewers I did garner. Doesn't Mary from Storage Wars remind you and sound a lot like Matt Riddle? Bro, I'm just saying, cool. You know, it seems like they got the same mental capacity. You know, they're actually way smarter than you believe they are by their outer appearance. But just the
Oh my God. Douglas Drive-Ins and Dives.
You know what? Let me get this shit on the road before y'all say, you know what? I came here for sports and he talking some Storage war shit. So without further ado, let's get this show on the road, huh? Good night. And goodbye. Back this past Saturday night in the garden, in the Mecca, Madison Square Garden, the New York Knicks, the number 2 seed, beat the Philadelphia 76ers by the tune of 111-104. And this was a game of ebbs and flows. This was a game where the person that's currently on this screen right now made a big impact. And without the impact that he made, we might find ourselves down 0-1 against this putrid team. Yeah, that's right. This putrid team. This team of bitches. This team of whiners. This team of brittle egos, brittle personalities, and brittle bot. Yeah, I'm talking my shit right now. Now, I'm going to discuss this game as I normally discuss games, as I'm going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to read off my little notes, and I'm going to pinpoint certain aspects of the game that a lot of people probably either discuss but didn't discuss in depth and or discussed but brushed over. And of course, that's my specialty. So first and foremost, Deuce McBride. This man, without Deuce, like I said, we'd probably be down 0-1 going into a very pressure-filled game 2 tomorrow in the Mecca in Madison Square Garden. And I have a lot of early thoughts concerning this game. And I'm going to start like this. My early thoughts for this. Nick Nurse, head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, would find a way to junk up the game. Like, he's an excellent coach. Remember a couple years ago when he was the coach of Toronto and they faced the Golden State Warriors? And he devised, well, let's put it this way. He was not afraid to play a box and one. A junk defense, but an effective defense nevertheless, because once, I believe, Klay was out, Durant was out, so everybody knew, and him, Nick Nurse included, that the only person that could beat this team would be Steph Curry. And he was not going to allow Steph Curry to have free reign. And if he's being ridiculed by using a quote-unquote junk defense, by using a quote-unquote college defense, so what? A victory is a victory is a victory. A win is a win is a win. And that's what I expected from Nick Nurse. Not so much a boxing one, but a defense devised in slowing down and tiring out our star, our superstar, our MVP, our, dare I say, league MVP candidate, Jalen Brunson. So, of course, it didn't surprise me that he started out the game by putting Nicholas Batum, his old ass, yeah, he had a great playing game with like 6-7 threes and beat a battered and wounded Miami Heat team, but they didn't need him to score. They needed him as a body, as a long body, as a body in the length to bother and distract Jalen Brunson from putting the team on his back as normal. But the problem is, well, the problem for the 76ers is that we are not a one-man team. Yeah, he might be our leader, but we are not a one-man team. We are, in fact, a team, and that's something I will speak about later on. So first and foremost, it puts length on him by putting Batum on. And then when Batum went off, Then they had Kelly Oubre on him. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, ah, okay. So they're going to put a bigger body on Jalen Brunson when it's one-on-one. And then when he comes around the pick, when he comes around the screen, they're going to blitz him with the double team. Or when he's playing off the ball, they're going to double team him and force somebody else to handle the ball, force somebody else to initiate the offense. And in the first quarter, it was working. Now, Lowry, I noticed when they had Lowry on him, Lowry doesn't care about fouling out. Lowry doesn't care about putting the body to him. It's that old Villanova, alma mater thing. You know, so Lowry was a pain in our ass against the Miami Heat last year, and he's going to be a pain in our ass this year. Because we can't allow Kyle Lowry to score 18 points. We just can't. We can't allow Kyle Lowry to disrupt our offense the way he did, especially in the third quarter. But I'll get to it. I'll get to that very shortly. So with Batum and Lowry and Oubre hounding him, it slows the offense down and tied him out. But one thing about Jalen Brunson that if people don't follow the Knicks, if people don't follow his career in general, one thing about Brunson is he will figure it out. He has a very high IQ, basketball IQ, regular IQ. He will not get flustered very easily. And if he does get flustered, that's the one of the keys about having his pops on a coaching staff, somebody that has that second pair of eyes that he trusts that can make that fine-tune adjustment of, okay, they're doing this. Remember, listen, it goes way back to our backyard days. They do this. We have a counter for here. We do this. They have a counter for here. We do this. Always counterpunching. And that's something that a lot of players of his stature, a lot of players trying to do too much, will get bogged down into, okay, I'm the leader. I have to score. I'm the leading scorer. I have to score. No, he's the leader, and he trusts that each and every individual on this team, on this roster, will do their job. And that's what they did. Bojan Bogdanović was on fire in the second quarter. The Knicks defense came alive in that quarter also. Like, Maxey started out on a roll. But Joel Embiid was on one. I think he had like 14 points in the first quarter. He was literally unstoppable. But unstoppable he became, largely because of that man leaning up on him, Mitch Robb, who I'll get to in a minute. Maxey became hesitant in the second quarter. The biggest difference between last year's Knicks team and this year's Knicks team is this. Deuce McBride and OG Anunoby. Last year, we had Quickly. And for as good as Quickly plays during the regular season, that's what he is. He's a regular season player. In the two forays in the postseason that we had with Quickly came out small in the postseason. RJ Barrett, the other side, the other end of the equation, he tried. He really did. He tried to live up to his third overall pick stature, but ultimately he just wasn't that guy. Now this year, Deuce has no fear and is embracing the moment. Like, he came in the game and he was ready, locked and loaded, and shot that three from the curve. And you could tell he was locked in. You could tell there was no hesitation on that shot whatsoever. He's like, all right, I gotta come in. I gotta give this team a boost. And a boost he did. Now, OG has the intangibles
that RJ did it. But Mitch Robinson did a great job on Joel Embiid pre-injury. Because, yeah, Joel Embiid did injure himself toward the end of the second quarter. But he put a body on him. He was athletic. He was energetic. He didn't let Embiid get to all his spots with the amount of ease that he normally does. He didn't allow Embiid to get to the foul line. Even though Embiid is a foul merchant, every time Embiid got to the foul line, it was earned. It wasn't given. So the Knicks outscored the Sixers in the second quarter, 33-12. We were up. I think we was up 8 at the end of the first half. Now, Joel Embiid went down. Joel Embiid went down with the injury with about less than 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Attempting a self alley-oop, and he came down wrong on his surgically repaired knee. The same knee that he missed a good chunk of time with toward the end of the season. And then he tweaked the second to last game of the regular season. Like, that play-in game against the Miami Heat, he had his moments, but it wasn't sustained. It wasn't sustained periods of dominance. And when he came down, and the look on his face was like, oh, shit, and you don't stop. He knew something wasn't right. And it's almost like we smell blood in the water. The Knicks had 26 points off the bench in the first half. And Deuce McBride, he had 16 of them. Now after the half, the Sixers came out with fire. And B came back out as well, which I was shocked, but they probably shot him up with something. And I'll give him credit because he gutted it out, but you could tell the way he was moving, the way he wanted no part of the physicality, that he knew he wasn't at his best, but he gave it his all, and I'll give him props for that. I'll give him kudos for that. Not much, but I'll give him kudos for that. Now, the Sixers outscored us 36-21 in the third quarter to take a 3-point lead going into the fourth. Old ass Kyle Lowry had 12 points in the quarter. And between him and Maxey, they changed the whole complexion of the game, how it was going, how it was heading, and our domination. One thing about this game in particular was our bench saved the game for us. Our bench allowed the starters to feel their way through. Like Dante had a bad game. He had an off game. He was 3-10. But the one thing about this team, everybody pulls for each other. Everybody pulls for each other. Dante didn't have it. Okay, Deuce had it. All right, fine. Ride Deuce. Deuce played the whole second half. Mitch Robb, I think he gave us 30 minutes. Isaiah Hartenstein, he didn't really have it against Embiid. I mean, he had a couple moments here and there, but he didn't really have it against Embiid. Guess what? No hard feelings. Go ahead, Mitch. Yo, do your thing. That is the difference. That's the difference in our team and a lot of other teams that I see in this postseason. Now, what got the Knicks the lead in the first place was getting out of transition and pushing the rock, pushing the pace. They got away from that in the third quarter, especially with an even more gimpy Embiid on the floor. That was our path. And in the fourth quarter, guess what? We picked that pace up. And we handled our business. Now, In clutch time, who came through in the clutch? This guy. Josh Hart. Josh Hart hit 4 3-pointers in the game for the first time, I believe, all year. Josh Hart hit 2 big threes in that fourth quarter. And B was playing like a little bitch, you know, doing that foul baiting. He was scoreless in the fourth quarter and 2 for 11 in the second half altogether. OG Anunoby had a big three from the corner with 1:26 remaining to give them a brief 7-point lead before Lowry answered right back with his bitch ass with a three. And then Hart hit another clutch three. This one looked like he threw it up there. Didn't expect it to go in, but it went in because he had the hot hand. And not only that, he had the quote-unquote heart. Yeah, I'm not pardoning the pun. I meant the pun for that. Then the Sixers tried to start doing the hacker Mitch, the hacker Rob. And guess what? Mitch Rob responded by not only hitting the first end, but hit both shots to continue to have us at a 7-point lead. Josh Hart clinched it with an offensive rebound after the 76ers inexplicably did not immediately foul with under 30 seconds remaining. So not only did Hart hit three clutch threes, he effectively iced the game with an offensive rebound and went to the line to ice it. Jalen Brunson, he had an off game. Jalen Brunson was 8 of 26, 1 for 6 from three-point land for 22 points in 41 minutes. He had 7 rebounds. He had 7 assists, but he also had 5 turnovers, which is very un-Jalen Brunson-like. Josh Hart had 22 points or 5 of 12 shooting, 4 for 8 from downtown, 13 rebounds. Mitch Robb in 30 minutes had 8 points, 12 rebounds. McBride in 28 minutes had 21 points, 5 of 7 from 3. And Bojan Bogdanović, and I was telling Rich Gore, a guy I know, the other day, that the big key is going to be Bogdanović. Well, one of the big keys is going to be Bogdanović, because the minutes that he has to show improve, because he's out there for shooting. So he has to make his shots. And especially in game one, if he does not make his shots, Tibbs will have no problem pinning his ass to the bench. Like, look, I can't deal with you. And the one person I do not want to see on the court at all is Alec Burke. Do not give Tibbs a reason to put Alec Burke in there. So Bogdanović, for 24 minutes, had 13 points, 4-12 shooting, but more importantly, 3-for-6 from downtown and 7 big rebounds. So he gave us what we needed. He gave us what we were looking for out of him. Now, I'm going to give y'all some stats. The bench, our bench, outscored the 76ers 42-7. On the offensive board, we outboarded them 23-9. On the boards overall, we outboarded them 55-33. We're one of the top, if not the top, rebounding team in the league, both in total rebounds and especially on the offensive board. We've been like that since Tibbs took over. How about this for a stat? In the second and fourth quarter combined, which a lot of times, that's the time that your bench is really getting the majority of the minutes. Beginning of the second, beginning of the fourth. We outscored the Sixers 65-34 in the second and fourth quarter combined. We also had a 27-11 advantage and transition fast break points. So dominating them on the boards, dominating them on the offensive boards, dominating them in transition, and outscoring their bench by 35. Those are all the keys of why we won. Those are all the keys why going forward, is it sustainable? The boards are sustainable, but we have to keep our pedal to the metal. We have to push the pace. As long as Embiid, especially when Embiid is on the court, we have to push the pace. Because Embiid is not going to be running the goal back and forth. And you can see in key possessions late in that game, Mitch Rob was giving him the bully ball with the putbacks. Embiid wanted no part of that smoke. If we tie him out by the fourth quarter, he's going to wilt. Then our overall team will go away. We'll push the pace. We'll extend the lead. Like we entered the game. We entered the fourth quarter down by 3. We outscored them by 10 in the fourth quarter. Because that pressure, that constant pressure on the boards, that constant pressure on defense is going to wilt away, especially when you know there's blood in the water. Couple more stats before I get up out of here. Deuce was a plus 37 over under. Plus minus for the game. Josh Hart had 13 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter. Now, nationally, the question was going to, was what nationally, the question going into the game was this. Who's going to be their second scorer? All they have is Brunson. Who's going to step up? If nobody steps up, I don't see why Philly can't, because they have Embiid and they have Maxey. The Knicks only have Brunson. And with his small stature, with his small frame, he's going to get worn out by throwing waves and waves of defenders on him. So who's going to step up? There's nobody who's going to be able to step up. How about the whole damn team stepped up? They said that shit like it was a diss. Like, to me, that's the problem with the mindset of how people view the present NBA. We're the personification of team. Team. T-E-A-M. Team. Brunson was struggling. Deuce steps up. Mitch was holding down, so he stayed in. Hartenstein wasn't pissed. Dante was struggling, yet he was giving tips and support to Deuce and to the others that who played instead. He wasn't pouting. Now, there was rumors that came out of Golden State that was one of the reasons why they didn't retain him. They didn't want to re-sign him was because, he was too much of a me-first player. Guess what? Guess who's in the playoffs now and actually up in the series? And guess who didn't even reach the playoff? And yeah, I'm throwing shade at my other team because as we would talk about at the end of this episode, because I forgot. I got a surprise for y'all. I'll talk about those cocksuckers. But we are the epitome of the word team. T-E-A-M. That's what it is. And hopefully we will have the last laugh at the end. So going into game 2, I haven't heard any update on the status of Joel Embiid, but I'm quite sure he's going to be gimpy. And that's why we have to push the pace. We can't let up. We have to make sure that we go into Philly up 2-0. Take their heart out. We have 3 Villanova players. Hart, Dante, and Jalen Brunson. Brunson and Hart in particular were saying, look, they didn't mind playing Philly. Unlike other teams, Cavaliers, the Bucks, we wasn't running from the smoke. the Cavs got the quote unquote easier matchup against the Magic, maybe easier for them. But guess what? When we get to the next round, we're going to be battle tested. When we get to the Eastern Conference Finals, we're going to be battle tested. Tell you the truth, you know who is ducking the smoke, who really don't want to see us? Donovan Mitchell. You know who really don't want to see us in the next round? If they make it to the next round? The Milwaukee Bucks. Without Giannis? Yo, I smell barbecue chicken out this mother effer. But my point was this. They played in Philly. They're used to the Philly crowd. They're not going to be intimidated by those Philly heathens down there. They're going to embrace all that. Tell you the truth, they were like, look, we don't mind going to Philly. We didn't, not saying we wanted Philly, but we wasn't running from Philly. Guess what? Maybe in years past, Philly had to deal with Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets, that is, not the borough, because look. BK all day. They had to deal with the Nets. The 76ers and the Knicks haven't played in the postseason since 1989. And you know what happened in 89? The brooms came out. Mark Jackson sweeping the floor in the Spectrum. Brooms came out. I'm not going to be cocky and talk about the brooms coming out this time. Because listen, we're going to trick off a game. I know we are. We always do. And Philly, they do have heart. They do have spunk. So they're going to win a game. But do I really think that they're going to bring it back to the whatever arena they have? I don't know where First National Bank. I don't know. I don't care. Do I really think this is going six? It might. I doubt it, but it might. But guess what? Bring it on. Next on the docket, thoughts on the New York Mets' new City Connect uniforms. Yeah. Now, before I get into my critiques on the uniform, I have to give kudos to my New York Metropolitans. After an 0-5 start to the season, in which everybody, including Gary Cohen, thought that the sky was falling. The sky is falling. Oh, my goodness. The sky is falling. Up until this afternoon, and even including this afternoon, we are 12-4 since that point. We were riding a 5-game winning streak, and we was looking for a sweep in L.A. against the Dodgers. And quiet as kept, we have a better record than the Dodgers. But I guarantee you, everybody in MLB land don't have nothing to say about that. The damn near $1 billion they spent in the offseason is good for a 13-11 record. Us being frugal compared to the expectations of how people thought that our Uncle Steve was going to divvy out the bucks. We're 12-9. Not only are we 12-9, we won the series against these Dodgers. So for all their Shohei Ohtanis and Yamamotos and all this other bullshit. Where's that landed them? That landed them right in the throes of mediocrity with us. Yes. Our catcher, Alvarez, is going on the IR, or he's on the IR. He's going to head to surgery because of a torn ligament in his thumb. And yeah, that's going to be a hindrance to our success, but that's why we had backups. That's why we still have Tomas Nido. Shit. If Tomas Nido can't come through in a clutch, who can? Yeah, so that's my Met talk for today when it comes to the team. Because I told y'all, it's still April. I really don't pay attention to the Mets, but so much, you know, I keep eye on them. But being the fact that I've been throwing crumbs at the masses who actually enjoy baseball early in the season, I figured I'd keep it up by finding ways to talk about the team without actually talking about the team. And that brings us to this, the City Connect uniforms. At first glance, what does it, if you're a baseball fan, what does that uniform look like to you? Well, matter of fact, whose uniform does that look like? Does that not look like the Colorado Rockies uniform, which I wish I would have actually brought up the picture? You know what? Matter of fact, hold on. The magic of pausing. Now tell me, that's the Colorado Rockies uniform, right? You see the gray, you see the pinstripes, you see the purple. All right, the lettering is a little bit different. But look at this. You see the gray, you see the black, see the tinge of purple, you see the pinstripes. And tell you the truth, those aren't really pinstripes. No, they're not. You know what they are? They're links of chain. Yeah, because we are, you know, the concrete jungle. Yeah, our uniforms are supposed to be a derivative of the concrete jungle. The gray represents the concrete in New York City. The purple represents the number 7 train. The chain. The chinks in the armor. See, y'all about to have me say some bullshit, which I will not say. But they think they're slick. They think they're slick. Because there's a lot of racial undertones when it comes to this uniform. Yeah, I'm taking it there. I am taking it there. The black. If anybody knows about Jackson Heights, Corona Park, Dutch and Queens. They ain't that black person over there. But not that. Look at the lettering. The lettering is supposed to be like old-timey. No. The lettering is can be found on certain Spanish art textures. The Mexican gangs in LA use those type of lettering. Yeah, am I stretching it? Maybe. But listen, nothing is what it really sees. Nothing is what it seems. Look at this. They even have Lindor in the back, trying to get that Spaniard fan base. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on here. I mean, y'all might think I'm stretching it, but listen, I'm taking it there. Then the hat has the span of the Queensboro Bridge, to be short, with the little purple, you know, with the for the seven train. Let me ask you this question, people. If there's actually a fan base within a sub-fan base of New York Met fans, and I know I'm just going overboard with this orange, but so be it. Look, it matches me well. Called the 7 line, right? They even have a clothing line in honor of their Met fandom, which I was a fan of until their designs, they kind of just like jumped the shark. So I'm glad I got in and got out. What I get was good. Like, plus, I'm a man of simple means. No. Let me rewind that. I'm a man of simple pleasures. I like things clean. I don't like too much graphics. I like things black, for lack of a better term, black and white. So me and the homie Zal, we are in agreement that these uniforms ain't it. They ain't it. They even got the little insignia on the side, little patch on the side. It's supposed to be reminiscent of a token. We're in 2024. The token has been gone for 21 years. Right? If anything, should have had a fucking Metro card on the side. But matter of fact, if you want to be up to date, then maybe they should have had a patch, a tap and go, an Omni patch on the side. See, that's what I'm saying. They're all over the place. So me and the homie Zal are in agreement. Zal is a hat connoisseur. Zal actually bought this hat for me in our last foray to Citi Field, which is kind of apropos of why I'm having it on right now on this episode when I'm talking about the New York Mets new alternative uniform. Now, out of the three of us, yeah, you know it's somebody's missing, right? You know I was talking about the homie Zal and myself. And somebody, regular listeners, regular viewers of the Sorted Dorset, Mike Steph, will probably be like, well, when you talk about Mets, usually you mention this guy that you refer to as Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach. And if you mention him, you'd be correct. Now, of course, I'm going to divulge some of our group texts because, unfortunately, he's actually on the grind working extra, something that my lazy ass refusing to do on Sundays. Hence, probably why he's going to retire way earlier than I am. Well, only because he got a couple more years than me and everything. But, you know. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. Too much personal information. Like, I'm not about to divulge some personal information. Well, the group text, that is. Even though, yeah, I know we had group text etiquette a couple weeks ago. I ain't talking about that shit. I don't follow those rules. If it's in my phone, it's open for me to talk about. Some bullshit, right? But anyway. So, in our little discussion about this City Connect uniform matter, Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach said the following. Y'all are the only two Mets fans I know that don't like them. I get it. Everyone has a preference. I like it. I see why they did it. It makes sense how they came up with the idea. Look at your caps. They're different alternative caps. Not the same traditional blue and orange caps. And this is me, because he does not talk like that. And you know, I am an impersonator extraordinaire. But for some reason, I just can't get him down. I don't know. I got to work on that before he gets out of here. He continues, I would buy it, but I would customize it with my number, definitely. And my name, I'm 50-50. As a matter of fact, and my name, I'm 50-50 on. I wouldn't put my favorite Mets player, which is Doc or David Wright, on it because I don't personally believe they belong on a City Connect jersey, which I get. Me and Zal, we don't share that sentiment. There's one thing to have the hat. My thing is, okay, you have to have different flavors, especially since a lot of people coordinate their hat with the outfits or whatever. So you have to have different flavors. As long as you have the logo, I don't mind that. But when you're on the field of play, you should have the primary colors on. Like, look, the Knicks, blue and orange is their go-to. So even when they have the alternative, black, blue, and orange, no problem. The blue and orange is there. The Jets actually came out with their new uniforms, which is the blast of the past, which is my particular specialty. But once again, if it's on the field, then you have to have your primary colors represented on the field. Green and white. Even the black. The black, green, and white. That would be like back in the days when the Jets used to wear the Titans old uniforms when they were the New York Titans and they had the blue and yellow. I couldn't stand those uniforms because they weren't Jet uniforms. They were the Titans uniforms. That's my problem with that. I mean, that's my problem with the uniform. On top of them, they don't have a pizzazz. Like, even if you just said, you know, if you put Queens on the chest, NYC is so generic. Put Queens. They originated in Queens. They reside in Queens. Put Queens. Trust me, Brooklyn ain't gonna feel alienated. Manhattan ain't gonna feel alienated. I guarantee you, with the fucking Yankees, y'all put the Bronx. Right? Y'all wouldn't put NYC. NYC is such a fucking gentrificated terminology. NYC. Yeah, these are the NYC Connect uniforms. Bunch of bullshit. Bunch of bullshit. I don't know why I'm even getting myself all worked up. Which is hilarious, but hopefully I don't get struck. I don't get a strike for this, but fuck it. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Oh, so see, that's even plain. They're playing in our face, in plain sight. If you know these are Mets uniforms, then you know. But guess what? We ain't gonna have nan thing on a hoodie or a t-shirt or nothing to actually say these are the Mets. These are the Amazons. These are the Metropolitans. You got a great fucking hoodie, NYC and a check in purple. And I'm supposed to say, oh yeah, those are the Mets? Ridiculous. And I swear, if I get a copyright strike for playing that damn thing, it doesn't really matter because I ain't making no profits anyway. But yeah, those are my thoughts. If you have thoughts about my thoughts, put them down in the comment column, in the comment section. You know, trust me, I'll be glad you did. And guess what? I actually respond to y'all. Like, unlike a lot of the big podcasts, guess what? I'm a man of the people. Guess what? I dare say I am the face of the faceless. The voice of the viceless. The blue collar hero to the widows and the masses. That's who I be. Mike Steph. Yeah, y'all thought I was going to say. That motherfucker is dead. He's never coming back. I know this is kind of familiar for my old school listeners, right? Guess what? That motherfucker ain't never coming back. R.I.P. No, no, let him.
Due to the adult nature of the following content, due to the raunchy, dare I say, vulgar language that will be used on this segment, parental discretion is strongly advised, but will be completely effing ignored. Yes, it's Steffi time out this mother effer. Now, Steffi time this week is going to take a turn for the worse. A turn. Matter of fact, we're going to turn back the hands of time. If I could find a way. Well, let's put it this way. We're going to turn back the hands of time to go way back in the year 1994 to be exact. Mike Steph, senior year of high school. And you want to know why we're talking about my senior year of high school? My senior year of high school. Because I think we're in April, right? Yeah, we're in April. You know, depending on what time a year that the school year ends in your state, in your city, in your county, we're rapidly approaching graduation time. We're rapidly approaching prom season. And not pardon the pun, I hope I don't get a copyright infringement for the footage that I'm about to use from my brothers from Gimmick Infringement. Hit it.
Click the record button that promposals are still happening and very important these days.
Yes, they are. And I think they're really cool. I love a good promposal. I'm a sucker for a good promposal. Hear me out. I'm saying this up front before I bury it. I am a sucker for a good promposal. If you were asking somebody out that you aren't currently dating, make a big deal out of it. I'm here for it. If you are dating, who the hell else are you going to go with? Why are we doing promposals if you're in a relationship? And why are you telling your significant other that you need to have one? What a dumb thing to do. Imagine for a second, there's an event, there's a gala, and your wife goes, somebody else asks, so I'm going with them.
The hell are we doing? That would not be ideal.
No, that's the end. That's it. That's the end of that relationship.
That's probably it.
Papers are being filed immediately.
Papers are being filed.
If I'm in high school and somebody's like, I'm going with somebody else because you didn't prompose to me, I'd have been like, yeah. Okay, so we're done. And then that would be the end of it immediately.
Right. And so my thought is the desire for this is clearly a social media thing, right? We want the video. We want the likes.
Public clout. It's all it's
the
for.
The comments. It's to capture it for IG.
And then who's it for?
It's for your hundreds and thousands of followers.
Bro. It's not for the girl you asked. Mm-hmm. You're not putting it out there for her.
Yeah. This sounds like a very logical adult take on the current state of teens.
I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to teach.
You're influencing the hearts and minds of the youth. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching. That's from the latest. Well, matter of fact, that's from last week's edition of Gimmick Infringement with Winchester and McDowell, Brad and Tyler, and. They was talking about promposals, something that I know myself, I'm quite sure Brad, not sure if it was a thing with Tyler, young ass, but that's something current. Like, you know, you get down on one knee and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, you have this big elaborate, you know, will you go with me? Will you be my date to the prom? And, you know, everybody, which goes starts videotaping it and then you put it on the Instagram and you put it on Twitter and you put it on Snapchat and all that other shit. We didn't have those things. So pretty much we have to go up to people and be like, face to face. Would you go with me to the prom? Would you go out? Would you go with me to the prom? And simple like that. It was either yes or no. And it was a big thing, right? Big thing the most. Now, I'm going to say this story. And it is a true story, right? When I was watching Gimmick Infringement, I wrote in the comment section, I'm like, wow, yeah, Brad, yeah, talk that shit, right? And I kind of, which I relayed a situation to Tyler, and Tyler was like, oh, tell me more. And I'm like, you know what? All of a sudden, the light bulb went over my head. I'm like, you know what? This would be perfect for a segment. I'll just save it for the pod. And I told him, remind me, you know, which going to just remind me, and I'll actually put it on the pod. And maybe about 2 segments ago, he hit me up with the reminder. I already had it all planned out of everything. So, but yeah, the thing was, when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend all throughout high school. Like, look, Mike had girlfriends, but regardless, had a girlfriend through high school, right? And, you know, we broke up beginning of senior year, right? So at the beginning of senior year, I'm kind of like moving around, trying to get my bearings. You know, everybody got like head start on me because not only did my girlfriend, did we break up, my girlfriend didn't go to my school. So all the girls I was egging for like 4 years, they already, like, if they were feeling me, they were like, oh, Mike got a girl. Oh, Mike hasn't been feeling me. So forth. Anyway. So I'm going to try to make this as short as possible, but still get the jokes in. So there was this girl. I'm going to withhold names. I know they're not listening, they're not watching, whatever. But I'm going to withhold names to protect the guilty and the innocent. But there was a girl that, this is 93, 94, had the Toni Braxton cut, right? Dark skin, Toni Braxton cut, and she was quiet. I knew her since freshman year, so I'm not going to lie. I'm like, you know, which course she don't grow. Which girl feeling looking good? Okay, fine. I'm going to holler at such and such. For the sake of the story, I'm going to call her Braxton. So I'm going to holler at Braxton. You know, she seems mild mannered. She doesn't seem bougie or whatever. You know, she keeps herself good. She looks good. Got a nice body. All right, fine. Right. So we had a swimming class. Now I don't remember if I saw her in a swimsuit, but I could just imagine how she looked in a swimsuit because everything was coming through. And I had a problem with my tooth. Like I had a filling. So I couldn't really participate in swimming class. Anytime we started going to the diving part, it would, the pressure, because I just had a filling. So the pressure was there. Neither here or there. So a lot of times we spent time on the bleachers. We're just talking, whatever. So for some reason, we start talking about the prom. And I asked her, I'm like, would you go to, are you going to prom? She said, yeah. You going to the prom? I said, yeah. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I had no intention of going to the prom. At that point in time, I'm trying to figure out, am I graduating on time? Money was probably going to be an issue. So I wasn't thinking about it, but I'm like, all right, it's November, December. I have enough time to get myself ready for the prom if I really want to go. I got resources. So I asked her to the prom. She said, yeah. She's like, oh, thank you. And instantly, we start going together. Now, I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. Well, actually, I was looking for a girlfriend. I wasn't looking for her to be my girlfriend. So all I know is, it's like once I asked her to go to the prom, all of a sudden, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? I thought we were just going to go to the prom. I got the prom. He put in a cut. And then I could still do me, right? Oh, I would have just kept my mouth closed and just continued to do me. So, we're walking through the halls, and I'm walking her to class now, and we're holding hands, and I got my arm around her, whatever, and I'm noticing people that I would all normally just say or get the what up from or the head nod from, they coming to me, give me the, yo, Mike, yo, what's good? Yo, I see you. I'm not used to all this attention because I have my people, you know, which go, I have my people, I hung out with. I had my, you know, and I had people who knew other people. So I had people around me that were more popular than me that kind of gave me access to certain things, but I wasn't, I'm not going to claim that I was the most popular mother effer in high school. I wasn't. Wasn't unpopular, but you know, when you saw me, you knew me. Let's put it that way, right? But so I'm getting daps and hugs and yo, my girl, let me holler at you later. Yo, when you go to lunch, yo, come to my table. And I'm wondering, darn, what did I just bag right here? But I'm not thinking nothing negative. I'm like, darn, like, people was really feeling her like that, that they see her on my arm, and all of a sudden, I done leveled up not once, but twice? Okay. Fine. I've always been the type, like, if I'm dealing with somebody, especially back then, if I was dealing with somebody, look, I don't deal with no ug mugs. So, if I was dealing with somebody, best believe, I was that dude, right? So, very, and on the low, too. People used to say, well, girls used to say, my game was actually having no game, but I'm giving way too much game right now. So, my boy T, very prominent person in New York City, but either here or there. My boy T, he comes to me, he's like, yo, Mike, what's going on? I see you with Braxton. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so which girl? That's your girl? I'm like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I asked this to prom, and yeah, I guess we're going out. He was like, oh. I was like, you're the X amount of person, you're the 50th person that came to me, but you my man. So why is everybody that normally don't say what up to me giving me that? He was like, you don't know? I was like, what you mean? He was like, yo, Mike, you know that's like a given. The box is yours. Really? Yeah. She don't such and 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 such. And I'm saying this like this, like, so you get choo-choo. I'm like, oh. Never judge a book by its cover. Because from freshman year to senior year, I never heard nothing about, like, however she got down, she kept that shit tight. So, I'm like, okay. So, my man T was like, so you know you gotta smash it, right? I'm like, yeah. He was like, no, meaning like, because if you take too long, it's gonna reflect badly on you. Really? Yeah. So he's pointing out people that supposedly smashed, and I'm like, oh, that lame dude, that cornball. Oh, damn! I do gotta smash. I gotta quick. Okay. So, that's the preamble, right? Remember when I said, don't judge a book by its cover? Guess what? Don't judge a book by its cover. Miss Sweet, Tender, Quiet Braxton was nothing like what you thought. She was hood. She was about that bread. We went out on a date because I was like, all right, you know, let me take you out to the movies. She said, okay, fine. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't know the real rules of dating etiquette because me and old girl that I was dealing with, like, it was just a, It was a regular thing. So it wasn't like, oh, I pay, you pay. It was like, all right, we just go out and whatever happens, happens. So my thing is like, listen, I want a fixed income. I got $30 a week. So we get to the night comes that we're about to go to the movie theater, right? And yeah, I thought I was gonna be able to be in and out, but guess what? I gotta get this story all the way out. So the day we go for the date, she brings her cousin because she wanted to know if I had somebody for a cousin so we could double date. I called my boy. But the thing is, and to this day, especially that he was like, yo, Mike, you set me up, because I couldn't get in touch with him to let him know I was bringing homegirl through. So when I knocked him door, he wasn't ready to do anything. And then a cousin kind of violated. And then it was a whole bunch of bullshit. And I felt bad because it did feel like I set my boy up. And that was not the intention. So now we're going to the movies with me, my girl, and her cousin. Her older cousin, who was also about the bread. I'm like, okay. So we're going to see Philadelphia with Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. I remember it like it was yesterday. So we get to the movie theater and we're getting online, or should I say I'm getting online. I see them to the side. I'm like, what the fuck are they on the side for? They better be getting on this line to get these tickets. So I'm like, Why are they on the side? So I get off the line. I call my other dude. We'll call him Newton. I call my dude Newton, who was an older dude that was kind of schooling me in a lot of ways. And I have nothing negative to say about him. You know, we grew apart. But yeah, he was like a mentor to me to a certain degree. If I was 17, he was like 24. So I call him. I'm like, yo, Newton, yo, I need some advice. He was like, well, I was like, yo, I'm at the movies with Braxton and a cousin, and I think they want me to pay. He was like, okay. I was like, yeah, but there's a problem. He's like, well, I was like, I don't got money for them. He's like, what you mean? I'm like, yo, I got $20. He was like, how are you going to pay for that? I was like, I wasn't. I figured, shoot, since she had her own token, she had her own brand. So he was like, wow, Mike. He was like, look, you're going to have to break it to him. I was like, all right. So I get back online. So they wait until I get to the window. And all of a sudden, Braxton and her cousin, her freeloading cousin, come up. And you know what I did? This is the best way I could do it. Can I get one for Philadelphia? Braxton looks at me. She's like, one. And I put my $20 bill up in the air. I was like, yeah. All I got is enough for one. Needless to say, I got reamed out. She didn't give me no good night, Nookie. Didn't give me no kiss. She kind of let me know, like, look, Mike, if we wanted to go Dutch, wouldn't have had no problem. But you asked me to go out. So that means if you asked me to go out, that means it's on you. And I couldn't find out later on. Well, I came to find out that night. Yeah, that's exactly how it's supposed to be. Put the rules of engagement up front. Fine. So we get past that, right? Now I'm going to fast forward a lot of BS, because we only stayed together maybe like a couple months, if that. Matter of fact, I don't even think it was that long. So we fast forward to spring break, and I was out at Newton's house, because Newton had a spot out in Jersey City. So on my spring break, I went out there for the spring break and chilled out there with him. He already told me that Braxton and the cousin felt that I wasn't good enough for Braxton. I was a broke nigga. So she didn't understand why Braxton was even wasting her time with my broke ass, right? Braxton's like, look, Mike is cool. you know, which he's rough around the edges, but I've known him fine. You know, maybe this is the type of dude I need. You know, maybe we could just mold him into what we need. But they went to my boy Newton and told him that. My boy Newton told me this. So my thing was like, all right, now it's seek and destroy, smash and destroy. Meaning, okay, I don't want to deal with your gold digging ass, but I can't be the only one in our high school that dealt with you and did not get the nappy dugout. So that's what I had to do. Smash and conquer. Which brings us to, yeah, exactly what's on the screen is exactly what the hell I'm referring to. The Krabby Patty. So she comes over to the crib in Jersey City with this blaxploitation tape called Homeboy. She had a thing for blaxploitation films. Okay, fine. You know. Now, my boy Newton told me, Mike, I know such and such is coming over. Don't effort on my bed. I'm like, but where am I supposed to? He was like, I don't care where you do it. Don't smash on my bed. Smash on the floor. You could take it in the bathroom. You could smash on such and such in such and such room. Don't smash on my bed. Makes me wonder if he knew what was about to happen, what's about to transpire. So I'm like, all right. So of course, when Braxton comes over, you know I smashed on the bed, right? She came over the next day, smashed on the bed again. But when I say homegirl, you know what? This ain't PG. When I say homegirl cannot fuck worth a shit, I wouldn't be lying. She called herself trying to ride a mother effer, right? And she just like. And I'm like, I'm laying there like this. What is she doing? She just. I'm instantly like, damn, this is what I dealt with? This is what I put up with all the bouginess for? Homegirl can't even fuck. You know, and then she's, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I was getting my aggression out of her. No, don't get me wrong. I wasn't rough, but I was like, you know what? You are going to pay for all this bullshit and all this backstabbing that you fucking said to Newton about me. You gonna remember my motherfucking name. I swear, I had no idea I was going to go this far. But whatever. Now, here's the moral of the story, right? Hence Krabby Patty. Don't you know, homegirl? Don't you know Braxton gave me my first STD? Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea. Dirty whore. Braxton. All I know is about a couple days later, after the second time, maybe about a day later, we go back to school. And I used to play a lot of ball. Right? So I'm figuring, you know, maybe I'm getting jock itch, you know, playing ball all day and everything, you know, just teenager doing your thing. So I'm in the lunchroom and I'm playing spit card game. Don't ask me how to play it now, because I probably couldn't tell you, but yeah, we're playing spit. And all of a sudden, well, I'm just like, after I like really going to town, and one of the homegirls that used to be on the table, he kind of saw me because I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't trying to like, really hide it so much because it was itching. And she was like, "Yo, I think you need to handle that. You need to take care of that." I'm like, "What you talking about?" "Yeah, I think you need to take care of that." So I'm thinking, I'm like, "Yeah, all right." Right? Get to the end of the story. I go home that night. I get in the tub. But I noticed when I took my undergarments off, I remember health class. They're like, "Look, one of the telltale signs, if you see like a little pinkish hue, it's not the fact that you put too much bleach in your whites." I looked. I'm like, "No." Then I saw something move. And I was like, "Oh shit. Did this bitch give me crabs?" Yes, the fuck she did. That dirty scandaling bitch gave me crabs. And listen, y'all know in the whole history of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, even back in the Salty Thoughts of Donnie O, how many times have I ever uttered the word B-I-T-C-H? Not much, because I got two daughters. I got a wife. I got a mother-in-law. I got mother. I have a mother and my grandmother. Like, I was raised by women. So I very seldom try to use, I try to refrain from using that word. But in this place, it was apropos. That dirty bitch gave me crabs. And I wonder how she got crabs. By running through the whole fucking high school. Technically. Those who know. So this gold digging, money grubbing bitch, for all the gold she had on her wrist, and all the gold she had on her ears, and all the gold she had on her books, and all the guests and polo and all that shit that she had on her back and on her ass, the one thing she didn't take care of is her nappy dugout. She was really a crab-ass bitch. Epilogue to the story is this. Years later, after high school, I'm with my current wife. I'm not with her, but me and her together. I'm on the train on my way home, coming from the job. And guess who I see on the A train? Crabby ass Braxton. And she looks at me. Now I'm doing better. You know, got a job. You know, I'm out of high school. You know, I filled out a little better. Had a little confidence. I know I had swag on me. And she gave me this look. She's like, "Oh, Mike, I see you. And I looked at her like, "Bitch, if you don't stop looking at me, she's like, "Oh, you acting like you don't know nobody?" "No, I'm acting like I don't know you. Get too close, I might have a fucking recurrence." So that's my long-winded way of saying I didn't realize that just going to the prom makes you boyfriend and girlfriend. I would have rather my promposal be denied. Because if my promposal was denied, guess what else I would have been denied? I would have been denied having SpongeBob SquarePants in my pants. Would have been denied having a Krabby Patty. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me in this here podcast the one y'all choose to view and the one y'all choose to listen to. Guess what the hell I was talking about? Or guess what the hell I was hitting at all throughout the episode about this surprise? I'm giving y'all not one, but two episodes this week. Yeah. Next episode will be focused in on the death of a dynasty, the official death of the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors. And I have a lot to say on their missing the playoffs entirely, on their embarrassing showing in the play-in tournament game against the Sacramento Kings, what I think went wrong, what's going on in the future, and just my salty thoughts on that franchise as a whole. I didn't want to dirty up this episode talking about my New York Knickerbockers and my unfortunate situation about 30-some-odd years ago, talking about those cocksuckers in the butt. So I'm going to give y'all a double dose of Mike Steph. So check out Gimmick Infringement, Winchester McDowell, each and every Wednesday, each and every Monday, Monday morning / early Sunday night. Check them out every late Sunday night, early Monday morning on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. Check out the Mojo King and his Hidden Gems Golf, also on all streaming platforms ever podcasts are available. And of course, check me out. Yeah, can't forget me. Check me out, the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, the audio version, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday. Check me out on the social medias. Check me out at Mike Steffens, _ on X, formerly known as Twitter. Check me out on the gram at _Steph, well, at Mike _Steph. And check me out on TikTok at Mike Steph _. Put some bread in my Cash App. Cash App, Donnie Mike on Cash App. Cash App, Donnie Mike. And of course, check out my new blog, MikeSteph.org.wordpress.com.
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The rest doesn't give a fuck.
This motherfucker. I thought we were going to make it the whole episode without this mother effer trying to take over my podcast. Like I said, audio episodes drop on all streaming platforms where podcasts are available on Wednesdays. Check me out on X at Mike Steffens _. Check me out on the gram at Mike _Steph. And check me out on TikTok at Mike Steph _. And of course, Cash App me some bread at Donnie Mike or $Dolly Mike. Or just, matter of fact, how about we just skip the middleman and you just put that money to the screen, and guess what? Somehow, some way, I'll get
it. Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The rest doesn't give a fuck.
All right, so I guess he's telling me that I gotta get out of here. So with all that being said, I'm gonna get out of here. Until next episode, which will probably be dropping tomorrow, because I think this is gonna drop before the end of Sunday. I guess I'll see you then. So, goodbye. Yeah, Stitch. Yeah, that was funny, right? Shoot. Lucky you didn't have to deal with that crab ass bitch. Yeah. See? Oh, shoot.